I don't know what it is. I love this intro. I have no idea what song this is, but it has a good little rhythm to it. Good afternoon, folks. Ryan Spector with you. We're now hosting the NFL Spectacular on All Access Football Radio. Great to be with you. We'll be taking your calls the next hour. Your calls will drive the show around the National Football League, NFL Draft, anything NFL you want to talk, we will discuss here on the show, whether it's Jay Cutler, Denver Broncos quarterback, or is he Denver Broncos quarterback, versus new head coach Josh McDaniels. We will go on the clock with the Washington Redskins. We will bring you on the clock. We will talk about every NFL team, offseason projections, additions, subtractions, NFL draft, positions they need, players they will be targeting. Mini camps will be around the corner once the draft hits. We'll talk about the first round of the draft. What do you think your team needs? Where are they going to go? NFL players in trouble with the law. Why is this consistent? It keeps happening over and over. Guys not learning their lessons. Uncapped salary cap. There will be no salary cap in 2010. NFL owners meetings going on. Lengthening the schedule to possibly 18 games. Your thoughts. Good, bad. Terrell Owens in the news already. Skips Bills conditioning program. I don't know about you guys. The guy just signed 2 weeks ago and is already skipping conditioning programs. I think you should be there at least working with your new teammates, getting to know your new quarterback, Trent Edwards. T.O. is a guy that doesn't get it, in my opinion, will never get it. The overtime policy also being discussed at the NFL owners' meetings. Will teams get an opportunity to match? A team goes down and score, will the other team get an opportunity to come back and go down the field and score as well? Or are they going to keep the policy the way it is? You score, you win, end of game. A lot of guests on today's show. California middle linebacker Zach Follett will join us. Zach will be going somewhere in the early rounds. You'll hear his name called on draft day next month. Redskins wide receiver Devin Thomas will join us as we go around the clock today on the Washington Redskins. We'll get Devin Thomas's projection, what he thinks the Redskins will do, how do the Redskins adjust in that very competitive NFC East, and in my opinion, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, Redskins great Joe Theismann. I'll talk to Joe about Jay Cutler, Josh McDaniels. We'll talk about the quarterbacks going in the first round of the draft, what he thinks about Matt Stafford, Josh Freeman, Mark Sanchez. Where does he project them to go? We'll also take your calls. You want to get in on the show, 917-945-6275. Again, 917-945-6275. Outside of our guests, we will also take your calls that will drive the show. Devin Thomas expected to join us at 5:10. Zach Follett will be joining us at 5:25. And Redskins great and one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play, Joe Theismann, expected to join us at 5:45. Again, you're listening to the NFL Spectacular here on All Access Football Radio. I'm B-Spec, Brian Spector, taking you until 6. Again, if you want to get in on the show, 917-945-6275 here on All Access Football Radio. Now, I don't know if anybody saw Josh McDaniels last night on NFL Network. Now, listen, I'll give Josh McDaniels a lot of credit. He stepped up. He actually came out. He decided to speak to NFL Network, give his perspective on the Jay Cutler situation. Now, I have different takes as far as Jay's perspective and Josh McDaniels' perspective. First, I have to talk about Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, what have you accomplished in this league so far? You've played 3 years. Now, you're still in the midst of a rookie contract, a five-year deal. You have not accomplished anything. 3 years. You have not won a playoff game, or shall I say, you've never been to the playoffs. Number two, man up and lead your team. He played at Vanderbilt, SEC, probably the toughest conference in all of college football. Listen, Josh. I'm sorry, excuse me. Listen, Jay, I get it. But, Jay, what did you do at the University of Vanderbilt? You did nothing there as well. And I don't want to hear from people, oh, well, it's Vanderbilt. The SEC is a tough conference, please. Vanderbilt was just in a bowl game this past year. They won 7 games in the tough SEC, and their quarterback couldn't touch Jay Cutler on his best day and Jay's worst day. So I don't even want to hear that. 3 years of college, you did nothing at Vanderbilt. 3 years in Denver, you've done nothing. 6 years. Shut your mouth and play the game. You know what? You found out Josh McDaniels wanted to trade you. Jay, don't take it personally. He wanted to go with the guy that he knew. Matt Cassel is the guy that he groomed. Matt Cassel is the man that knows his offense, knows his system. He doesn't have to start from scratch when he has Matt Cassel. Jay, he's not saying you're not a good quarterback. He's not saying he can't run your system. The man does not want to start from scratch. Jay Cutler, shut your mouth, man up, lead your team. You're under contract. Get in there. Show your new coach that you can learn his system. He can implement his offense with you as the quarterback. Go out there, win your division, lead your team to the playoffs. I don't want to hear Jay Cutler with his bitching and his moaning. I'm tired of Jay Cutler. He's got great physical tools. But what else has he done? He's accomplished absolutely nothing. There isn't a throw on the field he can't make. I thoroughly believe that. But then again, let's also look at the devil's advocate. There are a lot of throws that Jay Cutler made during the course of the season, all the games I watched him play. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what the hell are you thinking? What's going through your mind when you're throwing that ball? Some of those throws were ill-advised. He did not think. And Jay Cutler is not a guy that likes to sit in the film room and watch film. In my opinion, Jay Cutler is lazy. Now, they called you out. Show up to training camp. Show up to mini camps. Get your ass in there for the off-season conditioning program. Be a leader. Show your teammates you're in it from day one. Get out there and lead your team. Very simple. Now, on Josh McDaniels' perspective, Josh, you're not the brightest crayon in the box either. Josh McDaniels should be a defensive back because, in my opinion, he's very good at backpedaling. It's like watching Michael Jackson doing a moonwalk. First, he says he's my quarterback, then he isn't. And let's not forget this, people. If Denver gets a good offer, Jay Cutler will be traded. Whether that's a first-round pick and a second-round pick, a later pick and a veteran, there is always a price. Every team has their price. But Josh McDaniels, you've done a good job at backpedaling, and I know you've supposedly come from the New England regime. You've learned from Bill Belichick on how to handle situations. Well, Josh, you weren't paying close enough attention to Bill Belichick in all the years you've been under him. How many riffs does Bill Belichick have with players that he does through the media? None whatsoever. Josh, you've been head coach for a few weeks, and all of a sudden, you let it get out that you want to trade your franchise quarterback. You want to go in with the guy that you know. So doing it through the media, you didn't do a good job. You didn't do a good job at all. So I see fault on both ends. Josh, you can't go back and change the past. Move on with your team. Cutler, shut your mouth. Get into camp. And that should be the end of the story. There's really no more to it. That is the bottom line. Devin Thomas, wide receiver from the Washington Redskins, should be joining us momentarily. We'll go around the clock with the Washington Redskins. Until then, you want to get in, 917-945-6275 is the call-in number. You're listening to Football Spectacular here on All Access Football Radio. I'm B-Spec, Brian Spector. Taking your calls, our guests will steer us all the way for the next hour until 6 o'clock. Your thoughts on the Jay Cutler situation? If you're a Denver Broncos fan, do you want Cutler? Do you want to trade him? Can Denver go on without Jay Cutler? Can the situation be repaired? Personally, I don't think so. I don't think this situation is repairable at all. And we can talk about all the teams that want Cutler, and you got 10, 11 teams, they all want to trade for Cutler. If the price is right, don't trade Jay Cutler. And this will drag on and on until Josh McDaniels and Jay Cutler both suck up their pride and stop with this match of who's stronger, sit back in a room, And Jay Cutler, I can't trust him. Jay, you're under contract. Shut up and get in there. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. It's going to be interesting in Denver. And Denver could win the division. San Diego struggled last year. Kansas City is in a major transitional phase. Well, we won't even talk about the Oakland Raiders. Let's not go there. Let's not go there at all. The Raiders are in complete disarray. That's a franchise that won't be competing as long as Al Davis is there. That's another story. Again, we'll take you to 6 o'clock. Your phone calls will drive us. Expecting Devin Thomas any moment from the Washington Redskins to join us. What else is going on out there, ladies and gentlemen? You want to know what your team is doing in the draft? What do you think your team needs? Linebackers, defensive line, defensive backs, offensive line, running backs, wide receivers. Maybe your team needs a quarterback. And if your team needs a quarterback, you're going to trade for Jay Cutler. 917-945-6275 is the call-in number. You're listening to the NFL Spectacular here on All Access Football Radio. I'm B-Spec, Brian Spector. We'll take your calls, take you all the way to the top of the hour. Are you excited about the draft? Do you like what your team has done in free agency? Do you get into the draft at all? You want to talk about the playoffs? What did you think of the Arizona Cardinals, Pittsburgh Steelers? Does your team need a kicker, a punter, a long snapper? Don't kid yourself. Very important positions on a football team. Tell that to the Indianapolis Colts or the New England Patriots, Adam Vinatieri. What's the word on the street in your city? The Detroit Lions have the number one overall pick, and a debate that people have been having. Do the Detroit Lions draft Matthew Stafford and get your franchise quarterback number one overall? Or let's not forget the Detroit Lions have two picks in the first round. Do you go out and get a franchise left tackle? Do you get Jason Smith from Baylor? Eugene Monroe from Virginia? And then at pick number 20, draft Mark Sanchez. Do you draft Josh Freeman from Kansas State? 6'6", 230 pounds. If you ask the Miami Dolphins, they'll tell you. Dolphins number one overall last year took Jake Long. In the second round, drafted his teammate Chad Henne. I know Chad Henne has not played a snap yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We definitely won't go there. But it's interesting. Do you draft your quarterback number one overall, fulfill another need? It'll be very interesting to see what happens. But let me go back to the draft. I think we should talk a little bit of Washington Redskins football. And unfortunately, I don't have any Redskins music. I only have Michigan State music. And that's because we are joined now on the All Access Football Sports Line by none other than my man, Devin Thomas, wide receiver for the Washington Redskins. Devin, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Devin, I'm loving life, man. How's everything going with you?
Just getting back into the workouts up here at the park, man. It's getting kind of sore, but you got to fight through it.
No, Devin, I know exactly what you mean. And let me ask you a question. I mean, tough year last year for the Redskins. The NFC East is so tough. It is so competitive. Going 8-8, I'm sure, is not the season you guys had in mind.
Not at all, man. We have so much talent and so much firepower all across the board. We definitely expected bigger and better things for ourselves. But, I mean, you know, it's the first year for Coach Zorn and for us as an offense being together and, you know, as a team. And I feel like, you know, getting under the system with this offseason, it definitely will bring a lot more to the offensive spark, which we lacked thereof last year.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you, too. Now Jim Zorn is going into his second year, offensive coordinator Sherman Smith back for his second year. Now all the coaching staff is in their second, like I said, for their second year. So now, you know, there's more, everyone's more familiar with the system. You know, as you get in with the coaching staff more and more, you learn what they're trying to implement, and now you have the off-season workouts. How much do you think that's going to help you now going into that second year?
It's going to be huge because, I mean, like you said, we have another year coming under our belts. You know, I have a year that I gained a lot of experience just from being out on the field, you know, and just seeing the speed of the game and how the defensive schemes work. And it's going to bring a lot more comfort to my situation. You know, like I said, you know, we all been together for a year now. You know, feeling comfortable with Jason is a huge thing, and we're doing everything we got to do with these workouts this offseason.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I was a little shocked. You know, a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. I see yourself. I see guys like Malcolm Kelly, Clinton Portis, Santana Moss, and I'm a big fan of the play of Jason Campbell. I know that you had some injuries on the offensive line, but you think with all the talent you guys have at the skill positions, you'd be putting up a lot more points. And, you know, offensively, 19th overall, 28th in scoring offense. When you see those numbers, does it fully shock you?
I mean, yeah, like you said, we have a lot of talent, but, you know, it's just taking us all getting it together, you know, being all on the same page and going in the right direction. And, you know, we got the nucleus started. We got everything started with Coach Zorn's first year, and now it's getting the ball really rolling the second year.
Now, how many of the guys are there working out in the offseason? Are you working out in the offseason with Jason Campbell, working on routes, timing? How is all that going for you so far now in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, we're just now getting started, so we're taking it slow. But, yeah, we're definitely in there in the weight room together, building the camaraderie, you know, getting the communication going already. We, you know, taking time after to throw around and kind of just getting his arm warmed back up and just getting, you know, just playing catch, you know, getting the basics and the fundamentals just so it translates as we move into OTAs and we feel more comfortable as he knows my routes and, you know, I know his arm and stuff.
And that's something, too, I wanted to get into with you, Devin. You know, the public is very critical. You know, whether you're in Washington or you're in Miami or you're in Oakland, no matter what city, everybody wants their team to win. And people don't realize there's always a transition period. You know, sometimes people expect a rookie to be able to go out and light up the stat board, and it doesn't always work out that way. I know this past season he had 15 catches, 120 yards. And one thing I go about saying all the time is that with wide receivers – you know, as far as reading defensive backs' body language, when to cut in, when to cut out, reading the quarterback's eyes, there's always an adjustment period. That's why you don't see a lot of receivers breaking out till year two, year three, unless, you know, it's not very often a guy does it in year one. Is there anything that's helping you in your transition? I know last year is not the year you expected. I know you expect a lot more of yourself. Have guys like Santana Moss, who have been to Pro Bowls and been around, helped you with that transition?
I mean, yeah, that's what them kind of guys do. You know, they take you under their wing and act as mentors for, like, guys like me and Malcolm. You know, they did everything they could to make things an easier transition for us as far as letting us know how to read and how to study film. It's huge. Those guys are great at it. And, you know, they show us techniques that you wouldn't normally just get just from a position coach, something that a player only would know and things they mastered during their career so far.
No, I know exactly what you mean, and you find it helpful. I mean, what people don't realize is that it is very helpful when a veteran takes you under your wing. You know, he's learned things that he's going to teach you, and then you 4 and 5 years into your career, and then you'll be able to teach young guys what you learn. It's a phase where it just gets passed down the chain.
Correct. That's right. That's right. And that's how it has to work. You know, to you know, it works good for the team because instead of having guys, you know, go in separate directions, you need that for, to build the team camaraderie and the right path, which is to get to the Super Bowl.
That's the way you have to do it. And I believe the record was deceiving. Redskins, an 8-8 team. I think
right.
You guys were a lot better than an 8-8 team. And unfortunately, you play in a tough division, and you know the fourth-place team in that division could be a first-place team in some of the weaker divisions around the NFL.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we had our tough battles. We're in a lot of games, but you know, a lot of games is just self-made mistakes, obviously, from just not being on the same page and just poor execution. And penalties also. I know we was huge in penalties, so I mean, you know, we're gonna have to do what we got to do. We all have the right mindset, and we're taking it into the season.
No, and I agree. And one play can make a difference in the game, whether it's a turnover, which is why coaches always stress take care of the football, and you want to make sure you run a right route, and the communication process is good between the quarterback or the receiver or the running back. Because if one guy runs the wrong way and one player is supposed to be where he's not, that can be the difference in 7 points the other way and losing a 24-21 game. So it's vital to take care of the football, not make mistakes, and make sure you're on the right page with all the players around you.
Yeah, that's right, and that's the nature of the game. It's a game of inches, and every play is critical. And, you know, just the smallest mistake can be the cost of a game, man. So, you know, everybody knows that, and that's the whole point of becoming being as perfect as you can be. And despite everybody being human who makes mistakes. So, you know, it's just that you got to find the common ground and make things happen.
No, I hear exactly what you're saying. And let me ask you this. Jim Zorn comes in as the offensive coordinator, was a quarterback's coach, known great for working with quarterbacks, and then he gets thrusted into being the head coach. What is it that's so unique about his offense that players just love his offense?
I mean, you know, he brings a lot of enthusiasm to the scheme of things. You know, he takes what he has and he tries his best to, you know, put guys in position to be successful. And I think everybody takes to that. It's just, you know, once we all get on the same page, like I said before, it should get to clicking. And I mean, it's just he has an experience as a quarterback to know, you know, for Jason to be a huge help for him to read things the right way and how to make big plays. And you know, we're working on things. We're gonna be all right.
Now, there has to be a funny Jim Zorn story, something that he didn't practice or, you know, he got in someone's face and it was the wrong guy. Whatever it is, give me a funny Jim Zorn story.
I think the funniest Jim Zorn story would be just Colt Brennan dressing up as Jim Zorn back in his prime for Halloween. Probably the funniest thing I've seen, knowing that Colt Zorn wore some small shorts like that and his hair like that. That was the funniest thing to me, man. For real. Sorry. Other than that, Quizorn's funny pretty much every day. And, you know, he's a good guy, a funny character.
You know, I don't think it's something we all want to picture, but when you picture it, you can't help but laugh.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know
you
how
see,
they
next well. Time, well, next time you say it 10 and all the guys have to take pictures.
Right.
And you have to email us the pictures.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
you have to take one of the offensive or defensive linemen. See, now you got Albert Haynesworth. Someone's got to break out the video camera, stand behind Albert Haynesworth, and when he turns, just take the camera and put it off to the side and try and get glimpses.
Oh, man. I mean, that's not somebody I'm trying to play around with in the locker room taking pictures and stuff. So, I mean, you can say that for somebody else. I'm cool on that.
Well, you don't want to do it, but you have a guy like Clinton Portis do it. Clinton can
right,
get away
right.
with it.
Yeah, Clinton could do almost anything. Clinton's crazy.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think Coach Zorn's outfits are better than Clinton's, huh?
Clinton has a nice share of outfits that always catch you off guard when you see him in it.
Yeah. Well, you know, something else I wanted to ask you, Dan Snyder. Ben is a very generous owner. He goes out, he spends a lot of money. He goes out, he gets Albert Haynesworth, which is going to do nothing but only help your team, help you in the trenches. When you're dominant on the line of scrimmage, you know as well as anybody, it helps win football games. Is there a little piece of you that says, all right, Daniel Snyder's going out, he's spending a lot of money on the defense Do you sometimes wish you'd go out and maybe get a little bit more offensive help to make your lives a little bit easier, whether it's on the offensive line or another weapon?
I think Mr. Snyder making all the right moves that we need. I mean, we got Doherty back. We our line is, getting healthy. You know, we have all the tools on offense needed. You know, it's not too much more needed that we need to do on offense. We just got to put it together. So, I can see the direction he's going, and, we're going to see really what's happening for the draft and see what pieces of the puzzle we add to this amazing puzzle that we already have.
Well, like I said, Devin, I think you guys can go very far. And by the way, we are talking to Washington Redskins wide receiver Devin Harris, who's joining us here on the All Access Football Sports Line. Devin, it's been a pleasure as always, my friend. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I know you'll make major strides this season in helping the Washington Redskins win games. And again, I'll talk to you down the line. I can't thank you enough for joining us here on the show.
All right. I'm sure you met Devin Thomas, and I don't think Devin Harris is around here. So.
That's what I was going to say. Devin Thomas, wide receiver for the Washington Redskins.
There you go. You're a little off there, but that's all right.
Well, you know what it is? We're watching ESPN right now, and they're showing these clips of Devin Harris being injured for the New Jersey Nets. So that's what always happens.
Now you're trying to bring bad karma upon my name.
Come on.
That.
I would never bring bad karma upon your name. You know that, my friend.
All right, make it sure, man. Spartan dogs all day. I'll talk to you fellas later.
You got it. Thanks again, Devin. We appreciate it.
All right.
That's Devin Thomas, wide receiver for the Washington Redskins, joining us here on the All Access Football Sports Line. And, of course, as hosts, we all make our mistakes as well. Want to thank Devin for his time here on the show. And Devin's one of those guys, a big guy, a lot of size, physical receiver, and he can definitely go places in the National Football League. No doubts about that. No doubts whatsoever. And that's a little look at the Washington Redskins. They go out, they get Albert Haynesworth. They play in the tough NFC East. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens with the Washington Redskins. And if you're a Redskins fan, we will take your calls. We'll talk to you about anything going on, draft, anything like that. But, of course, before we get into that, we want to be able to talk draft. And who else to talk draft than a guy that is a great ball player, in my opinion, middle linebacker from Cal, Zach Follett. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you been?
Zach, I've been great. I spoke to you at the Senior Bowl, and when I talked to you at the Senior Bowl, I'm like, you know what? You would look great in aqua and orange in a Miami Dolphin uniform. And you looked at me and you said, well, that would be nice. I guess it's always nice when you get to play for a guy like Bill Parcells, right?
Yeah, man, definitely. It'd be a little far from home, but, the weather is just as good over on the other side of the coast.
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to play in any kind of cold weather. You're not going to get snow, whether you're on the left coast or the right coast, which is what I like to call them. You're getting sunny and not a cloud in the sky, right?
Exactly. That's like, we're up in the Bay Area, beautiful weather, and then where I trained for the combine and everything, I was down in L.A., and I mean, you can't really beat the weather down there. So that would be nice to end up a place like Miami.
No, absolutely. And I'm sure at this case, Zach, you would love to play anywhere.
Anywhere, I tell you the truth, man. Anywhere. I really don't care.
And let me ask you this. I don't know how you're doing. A little bit off the charts for a second. How are your NCAA brackets looking right now?
Oh, man, they're doing all right. I'm not a big, huge basketball fan. I'm not that experienced. I just did it to see if I can win any money out of it, I guess,
They're
looking all right.
That's the same reason I did it. You have all your friends that come up to you and they say, hey, let's do the brackets and everything like that. I'm like, just like you, we're busy. We have a lot going on. I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to do the brackets, I'm going to go out there and win some money.
Exactly.
And then in our business, when you're winning, your friends and your colleagues think you're cheating. Oh, we have inside information. That's why you're winning. You know, in your case, you're friends with all the basketball players, so you know if he's not. Everybody is a hater.
Exactly. I feel you. Yep.
But I got 14 out of 16 in my Sweet 16.
Oh, nice. You're good then.
Yeah. You know, we try to get greedy. You want all 16, but, you know, it's not hard when you're kind of picking the obvious ones, right? You just got to hope they don't lose.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
You know, Zach, I have you as a great middle linebacker, in my opinion. You buried the Miami Hurricanes. You put a dagger in Hurricane fans down here. We all watched that Emerald Bowl. And just a little bit about Zach. 87 total tackles this season, 23 of them for losses, 10.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 3rd in the nation in tackles for loss. Zach, you're just all over the place.
Yeah, man, I think I got to give a lot of credit to our defensive coordinator, Coach Gregory, going out there and making the switch to the 3-4 defense and for my senior year. They knew that we had the linebackers to do it, and they especially saw – they went down to Pittsburgh and San Diego, and they checked out Pittsburgh, and they see me being – I was watching on the film. I was going to be like a Joey Porter kind of in our new defense. So once they brought it in, you know, I kind of started getting the feel for it and realized, like, this could be a big year if I just go out there and do my job. And that was something that Coach Thompson, my linebacker coach, stressed, you know, don't try to make plays because that's when you get yourself in trouble. Just do your job and the plays will come. And then that defense is totally true. I mean, like the stats show, like I'm nothing special, but – I'm not saying I'm just a product of the defense, the reason why I did so well, but at the same time, it did help out.
Well, that's something I was going to ask you too, Zach. I don't really want to say product of the defense because I feel you worked very hard. You earned your stripes. And what people don't realize that Jeff Tedford is known for being more of an offensive coach. You know, Cal's always known for scoring a lot of points, whether DeSean Jackson coming from Cal, Marshawn Lynch. They've always been known for – you know, his unique offensive system. Do you feel that you fly under the radar, not only yourself as a great linebacker, but as a defensive player in that system, knowing that they're always more known for offense scoring a lot of points?
Yeah, and I think, man, up at Cal, we definitely fly under the radar, even on the defense side of the ball. And it's a little frustrating, you know, especially when SC pumped out 3 great linebackers like they are this year. We are definitely under the shadow because we have 3 great linebackers in Anthony Felder and Royal Williams. We're doing pretty much the same thing, if not better, up there in Northern California, but we just don't get that much publicity. But, you know, I think it shows in our play. You know, we are hard workers up at Cal, and we've done a lot of good things up there. So, you know, we'll see. It's a bummer, you know what I mean, because if I compare myself to some of the top linebackers coming out, they're all first-round picks. But I think just because I'm not your physical specimen, I mean, first-rounders, your typical first-rounder, so I think I fall a little bit.
You know, Zach, I'll give you an example. Down here in Miami, Zach Thomas was a 6th-round pick. And the preseason of his rookie year, the Dolphins had Jack Del Rio. You know, Jack was winding down in his career. And the first game in preseason, Jimmy Johnson comes out and he says, "We've released Jack Del Rio." And everybody was like, "Well, why? We don't get it." He goes, "I found a diamond in the rough in the 6th round from Texas Tech named Zach Thomas." And Zach Thomas has your body size, and everyone said he was too small, couldn't cover sideline to sideline. I'm a strong believer that you can get great players anywhere in the draft, and there are a lot of great players that go in the middle rounds and go in the later rounds. And coming from Cal, you played in the Pac-10. You played some of the best competition in all of college football. So I believe that you have a lot to prove. And a lot of people do know who you are and someone to get themselves a great player.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely have a lot to prove. And, you know, besides, you know, reaching the NFL is like a childhood kind of dream, you know, loving the game. But I think once I that's the biggest thing. I kind of catch myself getting caught up in all the hype of the NFL and getting drafted in the combine. But then I kind of realize, like, man, like, I haven't even thought about what I'm going to do once I get there. Because, you know, once I get there, you know, I just made a new highlight film for the 2008 year. And I plan on doing something like that in the NFL, you know, and once I can establish that on any team I'm at, you know, I think I'll be in good hands.
No, I agree, Zach, and I think they'll go higher in the draft than a lot of people think. I'm not one guy that gets into mock drafts. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you have millions of mock drafts all over the place, and they start in January. And people ask me, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me, because you have to take in effect additions through free agency, subtractions. You have to go to the Senior Bowl, the NFL Combine. You talk to different people. So I'm not one that really gets into it. Do you get discouraged when you are watching ESPN or seeing, you know, any kind of analyst saying, well, I project him to go in this round? Does that ever sit in the back of your mind? Does it bother you at all?
No, it sits in the back of your mind. You know, like, I think that I've noticed this whole process, like, this is a, you know, the media kind of dominates the whole draft and the whole mock thing because, you know, whatever the media pumps out there, that's what kind of people get. So, you know, they have their stars that they pump out. But, you know, my agent told me right from the beginning, you know, like, don't get caught up in the internet blogs and this and that because, you know, you'll be fine. NFL doesn't go by that. Like, the GMs don't go by that when they're picking their team. So, you know, they go by the film and, you know, what I've done to prepare myself at this point. So hopefully I've set myself up good. But, yeah, you know, I wish I could be on ESPN a couple times, you know, me being talked about. That's just fine, but that's fine.
You know what, Zach, you will get your opportunities. And I'm talking to California middle linebacker Zach Follett, who's joining us here on the All Access NFL Sports Line. Now, Zach, I have to ask you this question. I spoke to Larry English from Northern Illinois, and I asked him a while back. I said, hey, Larry, has there ever been an incident where you went after a quarterback where he saw you coming at him and the quarterback said something funny, a memorable story? And Larry tells me, he goes, I'm going after a quarterback, and he got great hand placement on the offensive tackle, and he got around the offensive tackle. He's coming after the quarterback, and he said the funniest thing he ever encountered in a game is when the offensive lineman screams back to the quarterback, hey, look out! Have you ever had a funny story like that where you're about ready to nail a quarterback where an offensive lineman's screaming or the quarterback's grunting, anything funny that you will just remember from all your college days?
Oh, man, I've definitely never had an O-lineman yell at a quarterback, though. It's funny because I actually this last year I did get a couple tackles who took just some horrible pass sets and didn't even touch me, and I got a full free shot to the quarterback, and they could at least – yelled a warning shot or something, that probably would have helped him, but he ended up getting hit hard. But no, man, I think the funniest thing is football. I remember this one time against UCLA, I tried to go make a hit on the quarterback, and I hit him, but he just got the ball off, and then it's just a line of just cuss words going out. So I figured something good happened for us because I think we intercepted it, ran it back for a touchdown, but good thing I didn't sack him or else it would never have happened. But yeah, it's fun out there. The biggest thing, my biggest slip up actually was when I went against my freshman year. We were playing USC. We're getting beat pretty bad. It's third quarter. They're running the ball, and Lindell White was talking smack pretty much the whole game. And there's a moment where we hit him. His helmet came off. He's at the bottom of the pile, and I had my helmet on, and I kind of gave him a little love tap headbutt, and got a flag. I didn't think the ref would see it, you know, because he was still talking. Gave him a little headbutt, got a flag, and then Coach Tedford saw me, and he goes, you know, what'd he do to the ref? And the ref goes, you know, he headbutted a player. And he looks at me, and he's like, did you headbutt him? And, of course, I said no. And he says, if I find out that's what you're doing on national television, your ass is grass. And, man, later that night, that play was on. I called my friend right after the game. I said, did they show it? Oh, man, they showed it over and over. The announcer said it was just embarrassing, and later that night, I'm at a bar, and it showed on ESPN with a circle around my head, me headbutting Lindell, and it was. I think I didn't sleep at all that night, and I ran to Coach Tedford's office like 8 in the morning to go apologize and tell him what I did, and it was pretty bad. But that's one of my most memorable things.
And then what, they made you run gassers, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, so I go in there, and you know, he was totally cool about it. He's like, oh, so you're coming in here telling me you did do it? I said, yeah. You know, it's. I apologize, Coach. You're a freshman. You know, you're loud. If you're a senior, it'd be a little different. I said, all right. He's like, so how's the team doing? He was all mellow about it. And he said, yeah, you're fine. No, don't worry about it. Well, then later that day, I get a phone call. Yeah, Zach from Coach Tedford. Like, I didn't realize when you headbutted him, his helmet was off. So we're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to suspend you for a quarter of the Stanford game. So I lost that a little bit, but it was a bonehead rookie mistake. I haven't done it since.
And Well, you see, it's a funny story. You got some funny ones there. Of course, we're talking with Zach Follett, middle linebacker from Cal, here on the All Access Sports Line. Zach, every year at the Combine, you meet with teams, and they ask you some of the most off-the-wall questions. I've had players tell me that, you know, whether it's a coach or a scout, will look at you with a straight face and say, have you ever worn women's clothes, or when was the last time you did heroin? They do it to throw you off key. What's the weirdest question you got in an interview with a team?
Man, I haven't gotten anything too extreme. I had the Raiders came up, and I think they have this one guy just walk around to players and just goes, so I heard about the DUI you had. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Or I heard about the MIP you had. Can you tell me something about that? And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, I've never – they went up to Warrell and was like, so I heard about the marijuana you had, a marijuana problem you had up at Cal. Like, can you tell me something about that? And Warrell looks like, you know what I mean, what are you talking about? So they definitely try to – send some guys out, try to fool you, get you caught up or something. But, you know, I think I'm pretty clean record, so I don't have to worry too bad. But I know – I remember when they asked me, what would you rather be, a cat or a dog? And
I've heard that one plenty of times.
Yeah, and I think I gave him a different answer. I said, well, you know, I'm not no pussy, so I guess I'll go with the dog.
you know, I never thought of it like that, but that was a good one. I'm going to have to use that one when people ask about it. That was
exactly. Yeah.
Now, in the NFL, a lot of teams transition 4-3 scheme to a 3-4 defense, or have coaches come up to you and asked you, I know you play in a 4-3, would you play in a 3-4? Well, of course you would play in it. Could you adjust in playing in a 3-4 scheme? And also as far as playing special teams, when coaches ask you about that, what's your reaction to being more involved in special teams as far as making a club that focuses on special teams? And you think you can play in a 3-4 scheme?
Yeah, man, I think I've been blessed over here at Cal to where I played in the 4-3 scheme for 3 years of my career. I played 2 years at the Will, the weak side linebacker, and then 1 year, my junior year, at the outside, strong side, Sam linebacker. And then it wasn't until my senior year we switched to 3-4. So I have tape on both sides. Then at the Senior Bowl, I played Mike Backer at the Senior Bowl, so I played inside. So, like, what a lot of coaches told me about me is that, like, my biggest thing about me is that I can fit all over the linebacking spots, and that makes me a lot more valuable. And plus, special teams-wise, at Cal, they tend to play their young guys in special teams, so the first 2 years of my career, I got a lot of special teams in, and I'm more than willing to play special teams. I know that's going to probably be my role. If I get drafted mid-round guy, I'll probably make an immediate impact on special teams. That's what I'm planning to do. And tell you the truth, man, I think kickoff is probably one of my funnest memories at Cal. You go down there, you build that left side of the wall with four of your best buddies, and you go down there and just try to kill somebody.
Well, folks, you're going to hear his name called on draft day. Again, we're joined by Zach Follett, middle linebacker from the University of Cal. Zach, before I let you go, you know, a lot of guys have hobbies, but this is one hobby of yours that I don't know how you do it. Could you explain to us this wood carving, life-size cutout that you do?
I'm actually out here in the shop. I'm back home in Clovis right now, a lot of spare time. So I'm out here in the shop right now actually working on some stuff for a Cal golf tournament. But basically what it is, man, I just get a big sheet of plywood, full sheet of plywood, and I'll print out on transparency paper a life-size image of, say right now I'm doing one of Marshawn running, and full body, and I project it to about his height, to about 6'2", you know what I mean, about 6 foot, you know what I mean, and then I project it, trace it with a Sharpie, and then on the plywood, and then I just get a jigsaw, cut it out, sand it, paint it, and then I have an artist, actually Marshawn's cousin's coming down here, he's an artist, and he's going to help me detail it up pretty nicely, and hopefully get some of these things put out there on this golf tournament. But it's kind of, you know, wherever I end up going, I'm hoping to have a little shop to put next to my house, to have this little side business to make some spending money, you know. In the NFL, just make a bunch of players, you know, left and right. I think once they see them, you know, they're pretty nice pieces of art. So they're pretty much like a fathead, but out of wood, and an artist painted them, basically.
Well, my friend, it seems like that's going to go really well for you. It is going well for you. And making extra money is always nice, especially in today's economy. But I think NFL signing bonus will be a nice chunk of change too.
Yeah, man, definitely. But I'm not depending on it just yet until I see it, so we'll see.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Now, can you make one of me? I figure if you can make one of me, I'm going to put it outside my front door, right in between the Dan Marino, Ben Roethlisberger, Fathead. I think it'll stand out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, maybe if we can get some back in your old playing days or something, we'll see if we can get some old footage and make a nice little cut-up of you.
Back in my old playing days, we have to go way back.
Are we going back to elementary?
We have to go way back into the archives to find that. Listen, I know you're doing these cutouts of Marshawn Lynch and Deshaun Jackson, and you're doing everything for your purpose. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Folks, you will hear Zach's name called in the NFL draft next month. Zach, again, I wish you a lot of luck. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for joining the show. And if you get any weird screams in the NFL from quarterbacks going down, you have to give me a call and let me know. We'll definitely talk about this.
Yeah, man, most definitely. I appreciate it again. Thank you.
No problem, Zach. You take care. That's Zach Follett, middle linebacker from Cal, who was kind enough to join us here on the All Access Football Sports Line. 13 minutes left in the show, folks. You want to get in? Give me a call. We'll talk anything you want to talk about. Number's 917-945-6275. You're listening to the NFL Spectacular. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector, taking you the rest of the way. Expecting NFL great Joe Theismann to be giving us a call momentarily, if all works out. So what do you think is going to happen in the NFL draft, folks? Any thoughts on the Jay Cutler saga with Josh McDaniels? Free agency, there's still guys out there. Torrey Holt. Chris McAllister, sorry role. Do you want your team to pick up those guys? Will the Detroit Lions draft Matthew Stafford number one? Or will they pull a Miami Dolphins from last year? Solidify the offensive line. Take your franchise left tackle. And get your quarterback with your second pick in the first round. Josh Freeman, Mark Sanchez. And does anybody out there like mock drafts? I'm a member of the media. I can't stand mock drafts. I spoke to Todd McShay from ESPN. He hates doing mock drafts. I'm not one that gets mock drafts. I don't get mock drafts at all. They serve no purpose because between pro days, free agency, guys getting injured, their stock is going to change every other day. So when you see a mock draft every week, I have this guy going number 5. 3 days later, they have that guy going number 15. You don't know. Even NFL general managers, executives will tell you. They laugh, as a matter of fact. When they see a mock draft, they're laughing. Because nobody knows what an NFL team is going to do or who they like outside of the teams themselves. The NFL teams, coaches, executives, scouts, they're watching the film. And then you have all these people on random websites telling everybody out there that's reading their site, the Detroit Lions are going to take this person. Tom Lewis and Jim Schwartz are sitting there going, really? I'm glad they're all telling us who we're going to take with number one, yet we control who we're taking number one. Players in trouble with the law? Never stops, does it? I feel bad for Dante Stallworth and what he's going through. The incident that happened in Miami last week. A lot of NFL players have trouble staying out of the limelight in a negative way. You've seen guys that are completely controversial, always in the news. You saw it from Pac-Man Jones. You've seen Terrell Owens always in the limelight for a different reason, not in trouble with the law. Dante Stallworth, Marshawn Lynch, Reggie Williams, got in trouble in Houston. It's the never-ending story. And I feel bad for Commissioner Roger Goodell because there are some players that just don't get it. Would you lengthen the NFL schedule? That's being discussed right now in the NFL owners' meetings. Talking about lengthening the season to 18 games versus 16. Guys get injured. Injuries can kill a team. Do you make the NFL regular season a bit longer and shorten the preseason? Personally, I'd like to see 16 games and shorten the preseason. I don't need 4 and 5 preseason games. I need 2 preseason games. 2 preseason games, 16-game schedule, plus the playoffs, good enough for me. You have guys constantly getting hurt. A fan of any team does not want to see that. Also, at the owners' meetings, are they going to change the overtime policy in the NFL? Win the coin toss, you go down the field, you score, you win. End of game. If a team goes down the field and scores, should the other team have an opportunity to match it before losing the game? Keep going until someone scores, the other one doesn't. Or the college format, each team starts the 25-yard line, the opponent's 25-yard line. Your thoughts, do you like the format the way it is right now? Do you want to see it changed? If you want to get in on the show. Last segment of the show. Again, if you want to get in, 917-945-6275. You're listening to the NFL Spectacular on All Access Football Radio. I'm B-Spec, Brian Spector. I'll be with you Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I will also be with you Thursday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll take your calls. Lots of guests that will steer us the whole hour. We'll talk NFL draft. We'll talk what's going on within the NFL, period. The Jay Cutler, Josh McDaniels situation, are you happy about it? Is there anybody in Denver that is happy about this situation? If I was in Denver right now and I'm a fan, I would be ticked off. It's watching a soap opera during the week, except you have less characters. You only have 2. Back and forth, nonstop. It doesn't seem to end. It doesn't seem to end. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. We have a special guest calling in. Let's see who this is.
Mr. B Spec, what's up? What's going on?
Oh, we have Dan on the air. Dan, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, pretty good. This is actually a momentous occasion here. This is the first time that I have ever been inspired to randomly call in one of our own shows. I've been on, obviously, I have my own show, and I've been a caller as guest, but I've been inspired by you to actually call in this show impromptu. So this is a first happening on All Access Football Radio here.
Well, Dan, I appreciate that. And while I have you on the air, we still have a couple minutes left before we get going. This is a hot topic for a lot of people. If you're the Detroit Lions at number 1, are you drafting Matthew Stafford?
if I am the Detroit Lions, see, this is funny because this kind of intertwines to kind of why you got me to call in, and that was the whole mock draft thing, right? You know what I mean? How, your hate on the mock draft, so now you're kind of asking me to do a the beginning of the mock draft, right? Take that first pick with the Detroit Lions.
I'm not asking you for a mock draft. I just said, in your opinion, if you're the Detroit Lions, would you draft Matthew Stafford?
If I'm the Detroit Lions, would I draft Matthew Stafford? You know what? I think I would. And the reason I would is I kind of feel like, you know, when the opportunity is there, sometimes you got to take a shot and you got to swing for the fences. I think it's a calculated risk. Any time you take a quarterback number one overall and pay them that kind of money, it's definitely a calculated risk. The way I like to put it is you're married to these guys. Once you take a quarterback number one overall, you're married to the guy for at least 3, 4, 5 years. Just ask the 49ers with Alex Smith. Detroit Lions know it from their days with Joey Harrington. You can't just bring him in and notice in a year or two and say, wow, this guy's not going to make it. You can't just get rid of him and cut him or trade him. You got to stay with him for at least a little longer. Having said that, I'm a big fan of Matthew Stafford and his ability. I think he's not a surefire thing. I'm not going to say he's a Carson Palmer. He's a Peyton Manning. He's not of that ilk, but I think he's worth the risk.
And you know, it's funny. You made a good point, Dan. When you have a quarterback, if it's the wrong decision, it can set your franchise back 4 to 5 years. And I know last year the Dolphins took the offensive tackle number one, got their quarterback later. But, and this is no offense to Jason Smith or Eugene Monroe, two great players. I think they'll be great tackles, but both of them don't compare to the player Jake Long was, number one. And number two, I would take Matthew Stafford as well. He's a pro-style quarterback. He's playing the pro-style offense. He can play under center. He can take the ball from shotgun. He's a film buff. He sits in. He watches film. He's constantly in the film room. He's got all the great physical tools. He played in a competitive program in Georgia in the SEC, which is arguably the best football conference in all of college. I think you take Matthew Stafford number one for those reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, he's one guy every single time I watched him play, and I'm talking about even going back to his inconsistent freshman year, he'd make a throw that would make you say, you know, I don't think there's another quarterback in college football right now that can make that throw that kid just made, you know. And sometimes you get tempted by that. Sometimes that lures you in, almost like you know, a little saying some people use in New York, the little girl with the curl, is that little temptation, and you can't draft a guy based solely on that. But I think that's what just makes him so intriguing. He's got a special plus arm. And going back to last year with Miami, I mean, listen, I'm not going to say they're not happy with Jake Long, because obviously they are, and we'll see how things shake out with Chad Henne. But I'll be honest, last year I was a proponent of them going with Matt Ryan, number one, and I you'd be hard-pressed to convince me if they could go back and do it that they wouldn't take Matt Ryan and say, hey, that's a great guy to start a franchise with.
Dan, I couldn't agree with you more. We're about ready to wrap it up, Dan. Appreciate you calling in, my friend, and always chiming in. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
I got one final comment quickly, if I can. The only thing more annoying than mock drafts is these Joe Lenardi NCAA tournament picks, you know, doing brackets in, like, February. I heard you talking a little NCAA hoops, so I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
Well, Dan, we appreciate the fact, and thank you for chiming in. I'm not liking the mock drafts as well.
All right.
Have a
great
good
show,
one,
by the way. Great show. Great first show.
Thank you, my friend. That's my buddy Dan. It's always good to talk to Dan. You can catch Dan on our multiple shows going on here on the NFL All Access Football Radio Network. We are about ready to wrap it up, folks. So many people to thank. I want to thank middle linebacker from Cal, Zach Follett. I want to thank Devin Thomas, wide receiver for the Washington Redskins. You can catch all of our around-the-clock segments on NFL All Access Football Radio. We'll break down every single team in the league, draft needs, additions, subtractions. Call us, talk about your team, what you think their needs are. Again, I'm Brian Spector, B-Spec, with you with the NFL Spectacular on All Access Football Radio. I will be back with you Thursday night, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. A lot of big guests. Jim Miller from NFL Sirius Radio, former Chicago Bears quarterback, hoping to catch up with Joe Theismann. Again, folks, It's been a pleasure. Thanks for tuning in. Again, I'm Brian Spector with the NFL Spectacular. Want to thank Rick Saratella, John Murphy, Justin Van Fulpen, Dan, all the fellas as well. We'll see you Thursday at 6. Have a good one.